I specifically kept the scripture lesson until these moments so that the words of the scripture would be most closely akin to the message which I believe the Lord would have us share together this day. The text and the scriptures are from, again, the Gospel of St. John. This week from chapter 8 of the Gospel of John, and we would begin our reading with verse 26. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, this is the word of the Lord. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. He who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. But then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33 responds, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Thus far, the reading of the text for this Sunday morning. I was reading this morning out of the New King James Version of the English Bible because I believe that it is much more easily received and able to be digested. Now, as I shared with you a little while ago, and I want to be sure this is on the recorded CDs that go out to other people, this series of messages that we begin today was not some original thought or idea that came to me. But at two meetings, one of the Wednesday prayer group, but then later at the meeting of the elders, it was at the meeting of the elders when somewhat the same discussions were being held that I was asked to take several Sundays and bring messages to you, to the congregation, that will help all of us work our way through the morass of all of the intrigue, misinformation, and confusion that is going on a daily, hourly basis. We have entitled this series of messages, If the Truth Be Known. If the Truth Be Known. Requested by the elders, as I said a moment ago, but I want to read with you a scripture that, to me, seriously lays out how crucial we are in these days and why this particular message is so important. So if you have a sword with you, that's the Bible, open it to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, after a series of descriptions of crises that were going on in Israel, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Finally, in Isaiah 59, verse 14, the Lord is speaking here, of course, through Isaiah, and the Lord says, "Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity," hear a lot about that today, "equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil himself becomes a prey." So if you're wondering why there is warfare, spiritual warfare, and you can sense it, you can feel it, you can see it, there is the explanation. There it clearly tells us that he who departs from evil, that means those who are pursuing a path of godliness, a path of truth, a path of righteousness and freedom, they become the prey. They become the prey. And when we who are seeking to follow Father God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus, when we begin to realize that we are the prey, then it is time for us to awaken and begin to ask the Lord, "What is it, Lord, that you would have us do?" And so here we go. I'm not going to ask you to look this up because I believe the words are so familiar to you that you could quote them yourself. When the Lord Jesus appeared in that mock trial before Herod and before the Jewish authorities, but particularly before Pontius Pilate, who was the chief Roman authority of that time, this discussion of truth came up. And Pilate said to Jesus this very sarcastic question, "What is truth?" As if nobody knows what is truth. No one can define with finality what truth is. So in that mocking question, I believe for centuries, the church, the true church of the Lord Jesus, has been seeking to proclaim, set forth through every means possible, the dissemination of what is truth. Truth is, ultimate truth is, and is defined by Scripture and the Word of God. It's rather amazing that as Pilate was seated before Jesus, whom we assume was standing, asking that question, what a pity that he didn't realize that he was standing at that moment before ultimate godly truth. I've often wondered how often you and I hear the words of truth. We're told the words, we read the words of truth, but we don't maybe realize that those words of truth are the words of Almighty God. And they're for us. They're for us today. Now, as we kind of think about some of the crises, and people are talking every day in all circles about various crises and problems and situations that arise, and there are many, I want to submit to you in this series of messages that what there are many who chalk up all of this to just political differences. There are those who simply see this division and all of this rhetoric as differences of opinion, differences of philosophy. But I want to submit to you a different criterion. I want to submit to you today that the source of most major crises is not political, it's not just personal opinion, but rather it is an epidemic of moral and spiritual crisis. It's a pandemic of moral and spiritual crisis. If you trace each of these crises, and they're all very vastly different, to their root source, you will find there the absence of the ultimate truth of the Word of God, given way to personal opinion, philosophy, ideas, debate, whatever. Now, I want you to go back with me to St. John chapter 8. By the way, I didn't say this at the beginning. The eighth chapter, of the whole eighth chapter of the Gospel of St. John is one of the major dissertations on truth ever written. Virtually the whole chapter, chapter 8, in its various segments, has to do with truth. And it is, of course, the discourse that Jesus is having with Jewish authorities. The church today is having discourse with authorities. Christians today are having and ought to be having discourse with those in earthly authority. And the way Jesus spoke and set forth the truth to authority, truth speaking to authority, is very, very, very telling and very powerful. And I want to say to you that looking at this eighth chapter, I know there's so many verses that we could share together that are important, but I just want to choose two of them. Just two of them. John chapter 8, and the first verse I want you to look at is verse 32. Verse 32. Here, Jesus, of course, is speaking red letter in my Bible, words of Christ in red letters. Verse 32 says this, "You shall know the truth." But he also says, "The truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But just prior to that, he tells us how it is that we come to know the truth. That is in verse 31. Jesus then said to those Jews, "If you abide in my word." This doesn't mean hear a scripture on Sunday morning in church. This doesn't mean read five verses of scripture before you go to bed at night. Abiding in the word means dwelling, living. Actually, the original Greek word for abide means pitch your tent. So pitch your tent in the Word of God so that whenever you hear words being spoken, ideas being shared, you instantaneously by the Holy Spirit can compare the word in your heart with what it is you're hearing and determine whether or not it's true. Now, verse 36, I'd also like you to see this. Verse 36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." If the Son makes you free, there is no freedom apart from Jesus. You can have a little political stalemate or a little political opportunities, but true freedom is only possible in Jesus Christ. And I didn't realize this until I began this study. I never thought, really, and maybe you haven't either, the close-knit correlation between truth and freedom. Between truth and freedom. And it's as if the Lord is saying, without truth, you can't have freedom. But without freedom, you will not have truth. So one of the major, major crises that you and I are all facing in this country today is the destruction of truth. Therefore, leading to the possible restriction and destruction of our freedom. That's a scary, scary prospect. You know, one of the areas of joy and pride of this nation has always been we are free. We are a free nation. We are a free people. We are free to worship. We are free to assemble. We're free. But little by little by little, freedoms are being eroded. They're being taken away. Why is that? Because if we do not know the truth, we just give way and ultimately our freedoms, as we have known them, are gone. Now, another principle I want you to catch out of all of this today is this. If you do not know the truth, if you do not believe the truth, if you do not act upon the truth, you will be at war. First of all, you'll be at war with yourself, because you will hear at times words of truth, words of scripture, but you will also be inundated with the world's words, the world's philosophy, the world's rhetoric, the world's deceptions. And unless you believe the truth, know the truth, and practice the truth, you won't be able to defend yourself against the overwhelming assault of false ideology that is coming against you. You'll be at war with yourself, you'll be at war with Father God, and you'll be at war with many others. Warfare comes about when we are not free in the Spirit, in your spirit and my spirit, to hear the word of the Lord, believe the word of the Lord, and practice steadfastly the word of the Lord. Now, it's also very important that we go back and just for a moment realize that our heritage as a nation was initially established in English law and justice, based upon revealed truth in Scripture. That's the basis of English law and justice, and we are the inheritors of that system. That truth was laid out clearly in the forming documents of this nation, the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, and the U.S. Constitution, all clearly set forth that the United States was founded and established as a covenant people with Almighty God. But when we live in deception and bondage, there is no truth. And as there is no truth, freedom becomes a vanishing blessing. Now, I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. You just please write these down. Time will not permit me to expound upon them at all. But I want you to see the profound depth with which Scripture brings forth these words of truth. Now, the first one I want you to see is in the Old Testament. It's Psalm 51. And Psalm 51, verse 6 says this. Psalm 51, verse 6. You might want to write it down. Behold, you, that's capital U, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts, you will make me to know wisdom. So if we want to know wisdom, truth has to be in our inward parts. And of course, that's a reference to your spirit and my spirit. The second of these is in Psalm 96. And I'm sorry, I think it's Psalm 91. I don't know why I wrote that down. It's Psalm 96. I said it right. And it's verse 4. Psalm 96, verse 4. I write these down and sometimes they aren't there when I get here. I'll move on to the... Well, I just want you to... Do you understand spiritual warfare? You know, I sit down and I write this down in black and white. And when I get here, it's changed. I just want you to I feel that there are some people who really don't trust this principle of spiritual warfare. Therefore, they don't recognize it when it's all around them. Another interesting thing, I put little markers in each of these scriptures so I wouldn't have to turn pages. They're all gone. All the markers are gone. Okay, but the numbers are here. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And then I want to have you turn to a New Testament scripture that I find to be very, very important. This is, again, the Gospel of St. John. Jesus is speaking. St. John chapter 16, verse 13. It's really powerful scripture. It says, however, when he, capital H, he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, what? He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring truth to you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit as you read Scripture, as you abide in the Word of the Lord, as you dwell in Scripture. It is the promise of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will bring to fruit and bear harvest of the Scripture and the principles of the Word of God in you, so that you can be steadfast in the face and in the assault against the truth that we're all experiencing. Now, two thoughts in conclusion. The next few Sundays, we will be considering, of course, biblical perspectives on several major crises facing the church, the nation, and maybe to some extent all mankind. Now, I want to emphasize, because several years ago when I brought a series of messages here that had some political overtones, there were those who said, we are not going to be in a church where there's any discussion at all, they said, of politics. So I want to make this, I'm going to call it not a defense, an offense. If we don't take the Scripture, the truth, the Word of God, and apply it to current circumstances, it's just like taking a stick and swishing water around in a mud puddle. It doesn't accomplish anything. The purpose of the Bible is for us to ingest into our spirits and our hearts and minds the truth of the Word of God, but then to apply it to circumstances and situations that all of us face on a daily basis. That may take a little courage. That may take a little courage. But without that, we are just like little scripture pieces floating through the sky, little scripture here. That was not the intention of our Lord Jesus. And I want to show you one of the primary examples out of American history of this principle and of this truth. One of the most powerful, difficult crises in our whole nation was during the time of the Civil War. At no time in our history has this nation ever been so bitterly divided. We're divided today. There's no question about it. There's division, serious, rampant division, but not to the extent of the bloodshed of the Civil War. Now, how did Father God answer the prayers and deal with such an impossible situation? He chose an unknown, uneducated, humble, honest, but Bible-reading, Bible-believing individual to become the president of the United States. If we think the previous president was ridiculed, we ought to go back and read the articles in papers and pamphlets about the one they called the baboon president gone wild. Baboon president, referring to Abraham Lincoln. That's all right. He paid no attention. He plowed through because he had hold of two things. He had hold of the truth of the Word of God and the conviction that what he was doing was being led by the Holy Spirit. This is what he wrote. He wrote and then spoke at the Lyceum in Chicago as he was being presented as a candidate for the President of the United States. What is often called Lincoln's second greatest speech. I suppose everybody would say the Gettysburg Address was the greatest speech of his life. However, this was the first great, great speech that plummeted him upon the national platform and recognition. And it's referred to in history as the House Divided Speech, the Lyceum in Chicago. This is what Lincoln wrote and said. A house divided against itself cannot stand. This nation cannot long endure half slave, half free. All people are created equal and are thereby entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those principles Lincoln took directly from the Word of God and the Gospel of St. John. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So our goal, our purpose in these next few Sundays is to learn and to discover what will bring unity and healing to a divided house, to a divided city, to a divided church, if there be one. How is it that the truth of the Lord Jesus will prevail in our current culture? Let us pray. Father, we're sticking a spade in the soil of culture today to dig into the very fiber of our lives, to see the roots, the source, the power of truth to prevail in our day and time. Thank you for all the leaders past, both church, civil, military, educational leaders, who have sought to keep our eyes focused upon the truth and have led us in the way of truth. But now, O Lord, we face a new challenge. Truth has fallen in the streets. Much of what we are told is either not true, half true, or deceptive at the best. Give us, O Lord, not just the ability through the Holy Spirit, but the desire to discover your truth against all of these issues. What does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? Help us to discover your word of truth and the freedom to live that truth. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord's people said, Amen.